The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome again to Grace in Focus, the radio podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We will be doing questions and answers all this week, and if you have a question you want us to address, send it to radio@faithalone.org, radio@faithalone.org. Today, Bob Wilkin and Philippe Sterling will answer some questions about hell. How can a loving God send anyone to hell? And what is hell like? They are ready now, and they will begin right after I tell you about our website, faithalone.org, a place where you can go for free grace resources. We have some free ebooks, hundreds of articles about free grace theology, blogs, videos, podcasts, books, notices of regional conferences. It's all there right on our website, faithalone.org. We invite you to go there, faithalone.org. Now, Philippe Sterling and Bob Wilkin, take it away.
Philippe, I believe you've got a question from three different people that you've weaved into one. Is that right?
Yes. This is a number of questions that came in, all addressing the same topic. So I'll summarize the questions from Johnny, Rick, and from Carla.
Okay.
And it concerns hell. How can a loving God send anyone to hell? And what is hell like? What is ultimately the experience of those who are in the lake of fire? Are they annihilated and simply cease to exist? Or is there some form of an eternal conscious torment? Or ultimately, is there some kind of universalism where ultimately God brings everyone to be with him?
Okay, yeah. You've raised some good questions. And I think one of them asks about, is there a book we would recommend?
Yes.
So let me start by saying I wrote a book called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. And one of the chapters is on heaven, and one of the chapters is on hell. I think heaven is much misunderstood. We've talked about that before on this show. In fact, you and I just did a series about two modes of the born-again people, of humanity in the kingdom on the new earth. Just as there's much confusion about the eternal condition of believers, there's also a lot of confusion about the eternal condition of unbelievers, about what Hades is like, what the lake of fire will be like. And in my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words, the chapter on hell took me a long time to write because there's a fine line that needs to be walked, in my opinion. One extreme is to say, which is very common in evangelicalism, that hell is the worst pain ever experienced on earth. So you think of people who were tortured for days, weeks, months, years. No, that's not. Think of eternal childbirth, eternal kidney stones that you're always passing them, but they never pass. Think of something like that. Eternal, you know, dental work with no anesthetic. Whatever it is, people actually say that's what the Bible teaches. And they end up with some sort of view that makes God some kind of sadist, right? He's almost
equating it with torture.
Right.
And is torment equal to torture?
Right. And it's not, but that's what they make it out. And on the one extreme, in my chapter on hell, I say, look, there's nothing in the Bible that says or even hints that the worst pains in this life are less than the pains in the lake of fire. And second extreme is the polar opposite, which is to say God is a loving God, and so nobody is going to experience any pain of any kind. There will be no torment. Either it'll be unconscious eternal torment, so yeah, you're going to be tormented forever, but you won't know it because you're in a coma. Or there are people who teach annihilationism, which one of these questions specifically mentions, which is sometimes called conditional immortality. The only people who live forever are going to be the believers. The unbelievers will either be annihilated right after the great white throne judgment or after a few years in the lake of fire.
Cease to exist after a few years.
Yeah, or a few hours or a few millennia. It doesn't matter. At some point, they're annihilated. And then there's the other view, which is universalism. And there's also a view that says there's going to be post-mortem conversions. Well, the post-mortem conversions typically end up with universalism, because eventually you would clear out the lake of fire if people could be born again in eternity. It would seem like you're going to have people that are getting out. those two extremes. One, the worst pain imaginable, worst pain anything on earth, or two, no pain at all. That the unbeliever is going to simply cease to exist, or the unbeliever is going to be in a coma or whatever. Well, the view I suggested in the book is that there will be torment forever. So that's why it's called ECT, eternal conscious torment, but it'll be bearable. Remember, Jesus said it'll be more tolerable for those in Sodom and Gomorrah than for Capernaum and these other cities in Israel.
So there are even degrees of tolerability.
Right. But if there's degrees of tolerability, that suggests that it'll be tolerable for everybody. I mean, look at it this way. I'll be 71 in about 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And I deal with pain pretty much all day, every day. Now, my pain is pretty manageable. I'm very blessed. I think I experience like level one or two pain. And, you know, sometimes it's dental pain. I've got four implants. And one tooth that I had extracted that I didn't put an implant in. Dental pain is, from time to time, horrible, right? But I also have pain in my knees, pain in my hips. But at my level, pain is like maybe one or two. When it's bad, it's four or five. Maybe once a year, I have level 9, 10 pain when I get these horrible migraines and they put me down for like 12 hours or 24 hours. But for the most part, I'm living day to day with one or two pain, and I feel so blessed because there's a lot of people my age that are living every day with level 6, 7, 8 pain, right?
They learn to manage and to live with that.
And I think that's the way it's going to be in eternity. I think, imagine you were going to be living forever, but in a body that experiences pain and suffering. Well, it wouldn't have to be level 10 pain or suffering for it to be torment. It could be level 3 or 5 or 7. What I argue in the book is we're not told whether the pain is variable or not. So it's possible that it's a certain level all the time. So maybe the ones from Sodom and Gomorrah get level 4 pain and the ones from Capernaum get level 6 pain. I don't know. But I think it's more likely that it's variable.
Yes. Now, but the main issue is the matter of separation.
Okay, now, so what do you mean by separation?
Well, the second death, going to Revelation, you know, chapter 20, if anyone's name was not found in the book of life, then they were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death.
Okay, so second death doesn't mean they physically die again.
Right.
But their body is separate, and soul and spirit are separated from...
from God and the ultimate new heaven and new earth. They're forever separated from that in whatever sphere of reality that the lake of fire is.
Which we don't really know.
We don't know. No specifics is given to us other than that it's a final separation from God and the new creation.
And I might mention what's taking place in Hades is... not the worst experience, because there's a part of Hades called Tartarus that's even worse.
Yeah, where the fallen angels, who, again, were disobedient,
right,
and are kept in chains. And perhaps there, too, is where Satan will be kept and the other fallen angels during the millennial period, you know, and, as well, before their final release.
And let me mention one thing, because you picked up on it, and that is when we were talking about variability— there's not only variability from person to person in the lake of fire. In other words, some people are going to have a more tolerable experience and some a less tolerable experience. But at least in my view, I argue this in my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words, there'll also be variability for each person. Just like I already mentioned, in a given year, I have some days where my pain is level 10 or at least 9, and I end up passing out, I end up falling asleep and being asleep for 8 hours, 6 hours, whatever, and then waking up wiped out. But then most of the time I'm level 1, 2. It varies. That's my view, is that the people in the lake of fire individually will have variability. And, you know, they're all going to be bad days. It's not good days, bad days. But some of their bad days will be far better than other days. And in terms of God, how could a loving God do this? Well, God doesn't do this. People do this. Ultimately, Satan chose this when he rebelled, and the lake of fire has been prepared for Satan, not for humans. And the only reason humans go there is because they align with Satan and his pride and his unwillingness to believe in the free gift.
And they rejected the free gift, and they resisted the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. So their character became fully formed, and that in itself might be the form that contributes to their torment, just in accordance with the particular character that they ultimately fully formed.
And I guess the final point to keep in mind is, and this is what I was bringing out about people and suffering in this life, just like there are lots of people in this life who suffer from day to day and they don't take their lives and they're handling it, I think there'll be people that way in the lake of fire. In fact, I think everybody in the lake of fire is going to experience tolerable pain. But it's like, what would you rather have? A body free from all suffering and pain, a body that never sins, a body that has no desire to sin, or would you want to be trapped in a body that has pain and suffering forever, and you probably constantly longing to get drunk or longing to sin, but you can't do it? And even though it's tolerable and even though it's something that people are going to accept, the reality is that's not what God wanted for them. And so if I had a choice of eternity like I am today versus what I'm going to get on the new earth with a glorified body, I'll take that, thank you. Well, we're out of time. Let me encourage y'all, go and read my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words. I think that chapter is helpful. I think I walk the line. I know some people think that what I'm suggesting is too lenient, but I think the point is, don't read Dante's Inferno and come up with your view of hell. Read the scriptures and come up with your view of hell. One final thing we need to talk about next time is, did Jesus talk more about hell than heaven?
And until then,
keep grace in focus.
Bob Wilkins' book, Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance, is available right now at 50% discount to Grace and Focus listeners at faithalone.org. Get half price through May 30th, 2023, when you use the discount code word REPENT. That's at faithalone.org. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition, we have all kinds of free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode of Grace in Focus, we continue talking about hell. Did Jesus really say more about hell than he did about heaven? Join us again right here on Grace in Focus. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.